I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, as I was preparing for today's show, I was brought back to a story from about 20 years ago. I worked in the fitness industry for many years, and there was a point where I was managing a group fitness department with a really nice health club system, and we were in a manager's meeting. And the VP came in to do this manager training, and he told us to take out a notepad, and he said, I want you to finish this statement as many times as you need to. You're on your deathbed, 95 years old, right? I wish I would have, and finish the statement. He gave us time to think about it. I didn't need to think about it. The first thing I wrote was, I wish I would have written a book. And I knew, even though I love my job, I love fitness, I could pray for my instructors, I loved our members, I just knew that God was calling me in a different direction. And that was 20 books ago. Can you believe it? But when I got home, I told Kev, I got to do something different. So we looked at our bills, our budget, and we made some strategic plans for when I could quit. And then I ventured in to the world of writing, and it changed everything for me. Well, we've been doing a weekly series on living with the end in mind. And those shows air every Tuesday, but if you can't catch the live show, you can catch the podcast anytime. Well, today we're talking about taking an honest inventory of your life, taking ownership of your feelings, making choices today so that you have less regrets tomorrow. Author and counselor Deborah Folletta joins me today. We're going to talk about how to change your life one habit at a time. We'll draw from her book, Reset, Powerful Habits to Own Your Thoughts, Understand Your Feelings, and Change Your Life. Got a handful of copies of that book to give away. If you want in on the drawing, this is how it goes. You text the word book to this number, 877-933-2484. It should kick back a link. If you put an exclamation point or quotes around the word, you won't get the link. So just text book to 877-933-2484, and you can enter the drawing that way. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Deborah Folletta is a licensed professional counselor, a national speaker, relationship expert, and author of Reset, Powerful Habits to Own Your Thoughts, Understand Your Feelings, and Change Your Life. Also the author of True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, and as well as Are You Really Okay? She's also the host of the Hotline Style Love Plus Relationships podcast, and her popular relationship advice blog, TrueLoveDates.com, reaches millions of people with a message that healthy people make healthy relationships. I love that idea. Deborah, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the program.
It's so good to be here.
Looking forward to our conversation. Before we dig into today's topic, I would love to know, just from your own walk with God, what's He been impressing upon your heart these days?
You know, I was reading in Genesis recently where God came to Abraham and Sarah and told them that they were expecting this unexpected child, and you know, they kind of chuckled. They didn't really believe it. And then the angel responded with, "Is there anything the Lord can't do?" And I've been kind of holding on to that phrase in my life over the past few weeks since I've read that chapter, but also even in the conversation that we're about to have and the clients that I work with as a counselor. You know, so many people come in with these big problems, these big struggles or addictions or conflicts in their life and relationship. But I think we have to go back to that really important question. Is there anything the Lord can't do, and go into this year with a great expectancy of what He will do? So I'm holding that for my own life, and I hope people listening will hold on to that for their life as well.
Well, that's exactly why we asked the question, Deborah. Thank you so much for sharing. And, you know, I'd love to know how the concept of habits and ownership became real in your own life.
Well, you know, in my work as a licensed counselor and in my own personal life, you get to a point where you want change, but you're just not sure how to get there. And I realized it's not the power of our will that actually influences change. Because I see a lot of people, and I've seen this in my own life, where you really want to change something. Like, you want it so badly. But then within a couple weeks or a couple months, I mean, we're around that season now, Susie, where everybody's New Year's resolutions are starting to fade and be forgotten. It's like, why can't I get this? because it's not the power of our will, it's the power of our habits and what we do consistently and steadily. And I've seen that in my own life, but I've also seen it play out in the life of my clients as well.
Wow. You like to help people identify the why behind their emotions. And so often we can be such people of the moment. We go with how we're feeling and we maybe don't have the presence of mind to ask ourselves, wait a minute, why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? So unpack that if you would.
Yeah. You know, there's a verse that I was reading in scripture where Paul talks about that the fact that he keeps doing what he doesn't want to do. But before he says that, he says, I do not understand. You know, I keep doing what I don't want to do. And I think understanding is such a powerful component for us to break the cycles of doing what we don't want to do, for us to lean into the spirit and understand what's happening underneath the surface. So as a counselor, I know that if we want to change our behavior, we can't start with our behavior, because our behavior is this superficial aspect of our life. But thoughts lead to feelings, which then lead to behaviors. So we have to backtrack. If you want to change a behavior, you first have to trace it to what you feel, because what you're feeling is impacting what you do. And then even before that, you trace it to what you're thinking. There's thoughts underneath those feelings that happen so automatically that sometimes we're not even in tune to them. So it's about the process of learning to get underneath those feelings and figure out, well, what thoughts and beliefs are leading me to feel this way? Because that's where the real work is done.
In the book, you tell the story about a car you owned in college, and it was kind of a lemon, you said, because it would like do things suddenly, like the turn signal would suddenly turn on. But then you learned it really wasn't a lemon. I mean, it didn't start out that way, but the wires were crossed. I thought it was such a great analogy. So tell us a bit more about that story and how it applies to our life in ways we might not even realize it. You know, we might have some trigger over here and reaction over here, and we don't always think to look under the hood as far as, might this be the source of something that can actually be fixed?
Oh, the grief that car brought me in college. I remember it was finals morning. I had slept in and I woke up in a frazzled mess, like getting ready to go to finals. It was a cold December morning. It was like 14 or 15 degrees out. I run down to my car and all of a sudden the windows roll down, the alarm starts blaring, and I had to drive to finals with my windows rolled down and my car alarm just going off. And
oh,
it was
goodness.
So embarrassing. But here's the thing. I'd had all these electrical mechanical problems with this car. And what I could have done is I could have dealt with them in a superficial way. I could have duct taped the windows. I could have muffled that alarm with some pillows or something to quiet it a little. But dealing with it superficially wasn't really dealing with the problem, right? And so when I took it to the mechanic and figured out there were some wires crossed, someone had worked on it previously and messed some things up underneath the surface, and I had to fix that in order for my car to no longer be a lemon. But here's the thing. Don't we do that with our lives? So often we have these things that are bothering us or things that we're struggling with, and we try to fix them in superficial ways. We try to put Band-Aids on those things or ignore them or try to like repress them rather than actually going underneath the surface and figuring out what needs to really change. And so honestly, that car to me is such a reflection of how we do the real work of healing. And sometimes we think we're the problem. What's wrong with me? Why can't I change? It's because we're not going underneath the surface to get to the roots so that we can begin to heal in a really meaningful way.
Yeah, you know, I say often that sometimes the Lord allows an overplayed enemy attack to position us for freedom, because we walk around with all these unchallenged lies in our soul and they sort of linger there, and it's the storm that triggers us or the battle or the opposition that suddenly brings that thing to surface. I mean, God knows it's in there, the enemy does,
right?
But we think because we're not triggered at the moment, we're good. But I just think it's God in his goodness allows an overplayed enemy attack so that we can see. My old pastor, he's retired now, but he'd say, don't run and hide when you're triggered. It's like God's reaching into your soul, pulling that thing out to say, see this? I'm about to deliver you from this. But what we do is we numb out, we make excuses, we point to somebody else's wart. You know, we miss perfect opportunities for deliverance. I'd love for you to speak to that, just your thoughts.
Yeah, we live in a trigger avoidance society, don't we, Susie?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you're watching a show and it triggers you, or you're listening to a book and it triggers you, or you're in a sermon and it triggers you, your next thought and what this culture tells us is just get rid of it, go away, do something different, avoid it. But exactly like you said, triggers are a sign that there's more healing to be received in this area of my life. Triggers are God's way of spotlighting something for me that I need to lean in and do the work. Why am I triggered by this? What is this reflecting? Is there a wound that I need to heal? Is there a trauma from my past that I haven't dealt with? Are there underlying lies and faulty beliefs that I have been holding on to that God is challenging me now to change and fix and align with truth? So when we're triggered, it's almost as if God is saying, listen, you're ready for a next layer of healing, but are you willing? Are you willing to go there with me?
I really
hope that through this conversation that many people would start to say, you know what? I think I am willing. You know, let's begin to kind of map this out. What does it look like to go in and do some of this work?
I love what you just said. We got to go to break, but I just want you to pause and think about that, friend, because so often when you're about to take a next step of faith, maybe you're joining a Bible study with your husband, or you're signing up, you know, for a class, or you decided to try to write a book or start a ministry, and the enemy comes and pokes at those unhealed areas, and he's trying to say you're not ready. And what Deborah just said is, you're ready. Are you willing? When you're triggered, hear that voice, God saying, you're ready. Are you willing? Because that stuff has to go so he can take you to your next place of promise. Deborah writes this, somewhere along the way, what you believe got misconstrued and what you feel got misunderstood. And then what you did became misdirected. So we're going to talk about how do we get to the root of what's really going on under the surface. We want so much for you to live with eternity in mind, with God's best will in mind, so that you have less regrets when it's all said and done. Deborah Folletta joins me today. She's a licensed counselor and an author and a podcast host. Her book, Reset, Powerful Habits to Own Your Thoughts, Understand Your Feelings, and Change Your Life. We'll be back in a minute. This is a Faith Radio produced podcast. You can find out more about Faith Radio and get some really fun goodies if you sign up for our free welcome pack at myfaithradio.com. You brought me blessings out of thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. That song just always puts a spring in my step. Talking to Deborah Folletta today about her book, Reset, Powerful Habits to Own Your Thoughts, Understand Your Feelings, and Change Your Life. And we've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book if you're ready and willing to make a change, to get rid of destructive habits that are leading you into the ditch, to interrupt destructive thoughts that lead you into the ditch. This is a new day. Today's the day you can change everything by changing how you think and paying attention to how you feel. So you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And you write this, getting to the roots, owning your thoughts and understanding your feelings is what eventually leads to modifying your behaviors and ultimately changing your life. Thought change leads to life change. Will you factor in for me the spiritual aspect of this, that we have a very real enemy who's always trying to steal, kill, and destroy, who's probably studied us closer than we've studied ourselves our whole life. He knows those weak places, those unhealed areas. So he's doing everything he can to leverage this information. And this is why I think what you're saying is so important, because once you kind of get wise to it, you can actually do something about it. But I just maybe factor in that spiritual aspect that we have a very real enemy bent on destruction, and God wants abundance for us.
Yeah, absolutely. When we look at scripture, God is really clear that there's a battleground happening in our mind. I mean, scripture tells us to take our thoughts captive and to renew our minds. And it reminds us that the enemy is the father of lies. The enemy is what we call in psychology a pathological liar. Everything he says is a lie. And I think what happens is we've got a lot of difficult experiences in life. We go through hard things. We go through trauma. We go through family of origin issues and hurts and wounds. And what can happen then is we start believing things based on our trauma rather than based on God's truth. And I think the enemy loves it when our thoughts are rooted in our trauma rather than rooted in God's truth, because then they're negative and shame-filled and destructive and hurtful. And we even start believing lies about God, ourselves, and others. And all of those things impact how we feel. I mean, if I'm believing the lie that I am not good enough, I'm going to start feeling ashamed. I'm going to start feeling insecure. And those feelings will then impact what I decide to do and don't do in life. And so for us to get to the roots, we have to really face our thoughts. Like I say in the book, own your thoughts. You know, one activity that I have people do throughout this book, Susie, is to take 24 hours and map out every negative thought that they have in a 24-hour period to actually own it. Write it down, face it, keep track of it. Because we're going to start looking for patterns and themes of where the enemy might be trying to bring us down. Maybe it's a theme of inadequacy. Maybe it's a theme of fear. But if we're looking, we can really begin to get to the root of what we're believing and whether or not it lines up with God's truth.
Boy, that's so good because, you know, nutritionists have you do a three-day food log because they want to get to the bottom of symptoms. And there's so often we have inputs we're not paying any attention to or we're discounting completely. And they may be innocuous for one, but, you know, a trigger for you. And in the same way, the inputs are our thoughts, spiritual inputs. You know, we sometimes feel like, I mean, the enemy does put thoughts in our heads, but we are the ones who get to decide if we're going to entertain it and rehearse it and replay it. So these, our thoughts are inputs. And I think sometimes we don't think of guarding your heart with all diligence means also guarding your mind and what you're allowing and agreeing with, right?
Right. And our thoughts can be so automatic, so familiar. You know, sometimes it's easier to just default to what's familiar. You just hear it every day. It's happening on the in the background of your life that you're not even aware of how negative it actually is. So when we can tune into that, we can begin to renew our mind. But we can't renew our mind if we're not aware of what we're actually thinking.
Okay, and you said that starting well begins with stopping so that we can pause and listen to what God has to say. You said we've got to stop and make sure we're in step with him before we go, because he knows best who we are, how we're doing, and what we need, and what it looks like for us to run this race well. We have to stop so we can start well. I would love for you to just explain that in a practical sense, like maybe with a client who's been running hard but running down the wrong path, and they're kind of wired and tired and thinking all the wrong things. How do you get them to back up, to pause so they can redirect?
Well, first we have to realize why it's important to stop. You know, I think we live in a go, 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 go society. And it's funny because the very first practice I start this book with is to pause, which seems so counterproductive. Like, wait, we're about to start the journey of healing and you're asking me to pause. Like, does that make sense? You know, I'm ready to go. But if we don't pause and listen to what God is telling us to do, where God wants us to heal, if we just decide, you know what, I want to heal in this area, I want to do that, so I'm going to go for it, and we're not in step with him, the work of healing is going to be a lot harder. So we need to stop and pause and make sure we're in step with him. Lord, what is it that you want me to change and heal and grow? And, you know, we live in such a go, go, go culture. We think it's a badge of honor to stay busy. And we're full of distractions. There's phones, there's technology, there's Netflix, there's YouTube, social media. There's ministry, and there's a million aspects of ministry and the work that we're doing for God on top of it. The problem is, I think sometimes we're so focused on doing the work on the external that we forget the important role of doing the work on the internal, which is the work of our hearts and our souls and our minds, our emotional health, our mental health. And I can't tell you the number of clients that I have, Susie, who are doing really good things, whether it be in ministry or in life, but they're struggling. They're burnt out. They're depressed. They're not succeeding in areas of their life. They have hidden sins and struggles and addictions. Their marriage is on thin ice because they've been so focused on the work externally and failed to do the work internally. But that's where true healing has to begin. Mm,
so good. Pause for a moment. You say, and listen, hear exactly what God wants you to change in the present. Understand where you've made mistakes in the past, and then see what you're being called to do as you look to the future. This stuff just speaks my language. I love this stuff so much because I want to live every moment with intention. I don't want regrets. And one of the great griefs of my heart, Deborah, is the thought of Christians who live their whole lives knowing they're saved, but they don't know they're loved. And if they don't know they're loved, they're going to live kind of underwhelming lives. And I think that brief moment when we see Jesus face to face, when we give an account for our time, treasure, and talents, there's going to be that briefest moment thinking, I lived with me in mind. I buried my talents out of fear. And, you know, that's one of the things that gets me out of bed every day. Believe his promises are true. Lean in and rely on his love. Let him heal you and then be mobilized. I mean, it's the best kind of life, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think so many of us live with lies that we don't even realize we're living with. And a lot of times the reason we live with lies is because we tend to see God through the hurts that have happened to us, through the experiences that have happened to us, through the things that have been done to us, rather than seeing him through what Jesus has done for us. And some of those hurts from our past tend to seep into the picture of how we view God and how we view ourselves. And so we live with these lies for far too long until someone can help us, you know, recognize them, until the Holy Spirit can kind of hold up that mirror and say, listen, I have better for you. I don't want you to believe these lies that are so familiar. I want you to start doing things in a healthy way.
What's it been like for you, Deborah, to see a client, see the light go on for a client that you've worked with and they were shut down because of lies, and suddenly they took the leap of faith and decided to believe? I mean, what's that like for you?
I believe more in the work of healing than I ever have before because of what I have seen God and the Holy Spirit do in the life of myself, but also in the life of my clients. I mean, when you see people, the Holy Spirit just bringing to their attention hurts from their past that they never healed, things that they've been holding on to, false beliefs that have been destroying their life, and they begin to say no to those things. They begin to say no to living out of trauma, and they begin living out of God's truth. It changes everything. It changes their mood. It changes their contentment. It changes their motivation. It changes their ability to be in healthy relationships. And it's the most fulfilling thing. But you know, one thing that I really believe is that God doesn't call us to live a mediocre life. Jesus calls us to live life abundantly. That doesn't mean we're not going to go through hardships, but that means that we get to thrive internally, even as we're going through hardships. That's what Jesus calls us to. But I think so many of us are just accustomed to living these mediocre lives and letting all of these hurts just kind of linger and be a part of the equation of our life, rather than believing that we can really go to God for healing. And it reminds me of the verse we talked about in the beginning of our conversation. Is there anything the Lord can't do? What are we expecting of him this year? Are we really expecting and believing that he can pour out healing in the way that he promises? And so I think a big part of it, too, is we have to really shift our expectations of what he can do for us.
Wow. Well, you set the topic up perfect because that's where I wanted to go next. It's expectations. When you live in trauma and out of your trauma, out of past hardships, you're living always bracing for impact. But God wants to heal you to such a degree that you can actually move into a place of holy expectancy, trusting God is good and he's up to something good for you. Deborah Follett is my guest. We're going to talk about expectations in just a moment. We'll be back. Don't go away. You're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to licensed counselor and author Deborah Folletta. Her book is titled Reset: Powerful Habits to Own Your Thoughts, Understand Your Feelings, and Change Your Life. Got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And prior to the break, we were talking about living out of your trauma, and that really puts you in a position of bracing for impact. You can't really simultaneously brace for impact and have open hands going, what are you up to, God? And so God really wants to address some of the things that are in our souls and our story that just keep us bound and captive. And in a moment, we're going to talk about what it means to own your thoughts and how to understand your feelings and thus change your life. But let's talk about out of your chapter, Something New, where you're talking about expectations. And you'd written this about yourself. You said, I stopped asking great things of God. I stopped believing for great things from God because I was afraid to ask, to believe, to expect. I missed out on so many great things he wanted to do. Somebody need to hear that today. And I love that admission, Deborah, because we all get to those places. But unpack that if you would.
Yeah, you know, I'd been through some hard things about a decade ago where I really needed and wanted something to happen in my life, and it didn't happen in the way that I wanted it to. You know, looking back a decade later, I still see God's fingerprints in that situation and why he chose his way over my way. But in that season, I was kind of struggling with my expectations and almost afraid to expect of God. You know, it's funny, in relationships, Susie, I do a lot of marriage counseling, and I always remind people to have healthy expectations of one another, to have realistic expectations of one another. And I kind of started applying some of that to my relationship with God, unfortunately, as though he was a flawed human being that was going to let me down. And so I had to be careful of what I asked and expected of him. But in the process, I am the one who suffered. I am the one who lost because I wasn't going to my Father for my every need. And I'm learning to expect more of God, to ask him for everything that I need, and let him be the judge of what's best for my life. And so I think we all kind of have to go through this process of really understanding that some of those hurts from our past can really shape the way that we view God. And if we're not careful, we can begin to shape God through the view of our hurts rather than shaping him through the view of who he says he is in his word.
Mm. I'd love for you to talk about what it means to own your thoughts. Like, how do you start with clients when it comes to owning thoughts? And even how do you identify self-fulfilling prophecies? I guess these are two separate things. You write about self-fulfilling prophecies. First, let's start there. Then we'll talk about how to own thoughts. But explain what that is and just the power behind our projections, so to speak.
Yeah. What we're looking for in life is what we'll see. Your mindset is 90% of the equation of how your day is going to play out. It's less about what you go through in your day. It's less about the circumstances and the experiences and more about your mindset as you go through those experiences. So if I'm looking for good things throughout my day, I'm going to find good things. If I'm looking for negative things, I'm going to find negative things. We have this human bias where we find what we're looking for. And so it's so important for us to shift our mindset and look for where God is working and what he is doing rather than for what we want him to do and he's not doing according to our human opinions. So shifting our mindset as we go through the day, as we go through our life, as we go through hard things, it's such an important and crucial part to making sure our thoughts are in a healthy place.
Yeah. You know, as I'm thinking about living with the end in mind, do you really want to come to the end of your life? I mean, do you want to identify destructive thoughts today and never deal with them so that they're there tomorrow and years from now at the end of time? Because our destructive thoughts not only impact us, but everybody around us. And you can know that if we're thinking destructive, insecure, critical, bitter thoughts, there's somebody in our circle likely who's praying for us going, oh, Lord, deliver them from that. And imagine the sorrow of never refusing to deal with those things to the point where you get to the end of your life. Because wouldn't you say, Deborah, those things don't stay static. There's not this inertia. To me, it's a root of bitterness. It's a cancer. It grows and impacts other areas. Maybe talk about that concept of undealt with destructive thoughts and their impact.
Yeah, what I find most fascinating is when people think that they're just like this. This is just who I am. This is just my personality. I'm more of a pessimistic person, or some people even say, I'm a realist. But that's really code for I like to think negatively. And so here's the thing. It isn't just how you were born. This isn't just your personality. We think the way we think based on the things we've learned, based on the way we've learned to think, based on the way we've had to survive in different seasons of life, based on the way that our bodies have had to respond to different experiences. So even the health of your thinking isn't something you're born with. It's a learned experience. And I think that's why the Bible talks so much about taking ownership of our thoughts, because Jesus knows that if we were just to allow our thoughts to go down the direction they're going to go, our thoughts will always take the path of least resistance. Our brains are wired in a way to do what's easiest. Have you ever been driving to work, Susie? And then, you know, it's Sunday morning now and you're driving to church, but all of a sudden, you still find yourself driving to work. because mm-hmm. 5 days a week you drive to work and your brain is used to that pattern. So when you try to do something a little differently, it goes back to that default when you're not actively thinking about it, because our brains love the path of least resistance. And unfortunately for us, the path of least resistance is often negative thinking. And so we can dwell on those negative thoughts and think, well, this is just who I am, rather than taking ownership and seeing where those thoughts are rooted and how we can begin to change.
How do you have a chapter titled Own Your Junk, and you say that we're the ones that get in our own way. How do you help clients see that, gently, lovingly point out that they may be pointing to other reasons they can't have experience forward moving progress, and you're kind of saying, you know, you're the one who's in your own way. How do you get there?
Well, you know, I try to frame it as a positive thing, because if everybody else is responsible for my problem, then I have no power or control. I am just a victim to everybody else's poor decisions in my life. And honestly, that's a scary place to be if you absolutely have no control. So I like to see it almost like empowering ourselves. When I realize I have the power to own my issues, to own my weaknesses, my deficits, my reactions, and my responses, all of a sudden I have more control in the situation. So I actually see taking ownership as an act of empowerment. And I really believe that the Lord saw it that way too, when he says, stop looking at the speck in your brother's eye and first remove the plank out of your own eye so that you can see clearly to then help your brother. If we really want to help people, we have to start with what we can control, and what we can control is me. And that's a really hard but powerful thing to understand in our life, because we can begin to change. And when we begin to change, it begins to influence the people around us.
Let's talk about some of the most common but subtle thought patterns that steal from us. And friends, just to be clear, this isn't about the power of positive thinking, because there's a whole New Age concept around that. This is about redemptive biblical thinking. But the truth remains, even in science, apart from faith, would tell you a person who has no faith to speak of, but who bends towards the positive, will fare better in this life. Of course, spiritually speaking, we're saved by grace through faith, and that's a whole bigger conversation. But I just want to be clear, because there's so many departures in this day. But, you know, even again, for an unsaved person, they will have a better quality of life, basically, if they're looking for the bright side of things. All that to say, Deborah, what are some of the most common subtle thought patterns that continually rob from us, that maybe we're living with and we're not even realizing it?
Yeah, Susie, I'm so glad you said that, because I 100% agree. This isn't just about thinking positively. If you wake up tomorrow and you start filling your mind with as many positive thoughts as you can, that is not the answer. It's not just about thinking positively. It's about identifying the roots of where we are believing lies, uprooting them, and then beginning to replace those lies with God's truth and thinking out of that, because that's where true healing begins. It's not just about our thoughts. I mean, our thoughts aren't even accurate sometimes. Just because you think something doesn't make it true. Just because you think something doesn't mean it owns you. Our thoughts, you know, are as inconsistent as the waves on the ocean. And so we have to really understand, this isn't just about flipping a switch and trying to think positively. It's about going a little bit deeper. And when we go deeper, we realize that, like we talked about earlier, the enemy wants to plant lies in different experiences of our life. Let's say you lived in a home where your parents were so distracted or dysfunctional or busy or self-absorbed that they didn't really care for your needs. Well, you can grow up believing that your needs don't matter. And when you grow up believing that your needs don't matter, you can suppress all of those needs and ignore all of those needs and end up in a place where you're really not healthy because you haven't been taking care of yourself. Rather than looking in the truth of God's word that says that God is the one who sees your needs and he is the one that will take care of those needs. Your needs are important, but he is the one that can fill them for you. And if he cares for the sparrows and the lilies, how much more does he care for you? And so for somebody who struggles with that, it's not just about waking up the next day and thinking, I have needs and my needs are important too. It's about getting to the root of why they were believing those negative things and and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak his truth into those dark places.
That's so good, because it's like just slapping on positive thoughts without addressing the wound or the lie. It's kind of mixing, junk food with supplements or something. It's not moving you towards health. But the idea of going, okay, that might have been part of the reality of your story. You were neglected, or they overlooked you, or whatever. That really hurts. But what does God say about you? And allowing his healing balm to go into those past places. It's amazing, isn't it, how the legitimate hurts that we go through in our past, Jesus in real time can go back and help us rewrite that story, not to say it didn't happen, but to give us the tools to think about it differently. That in and of itself is a supernatural proposition, isn't it?
It really is. One activity and exercise and reset is going back to your childhood wounds and dealing with some of those hard places by the help and power of the Holy Spirit. And I kind of guide you into a practice of what that looks like. But I really believe when Jesus says, let the little children come to me, Jesus sees you as your 8-year-old self. He sees you as your 16-year-old self. He sees you as your 50-year-old self. And so he sees those parts of you that are in need of healing. And he says, listen, bring them to me. Come to me. There's a place for you here. And I really think if we will take him seriously, if we'll take him at his word, we'll find true healing really is at his feet.
Mm. So we go to break. I'm going to read another excerpt from your book, Reset. You write, your thoughts have the power to seriously enhance or completely destroy your life. If you see the same stream of thinking coming back again and again and again, it's time to own up to it and let the mental battle begin. Change your thought patterns and you'll change your life patterns. You know, when you think about it this way, life is hard. We can do hard. We've done hard before. But sometimes we choose the wrong hard. We choose to procrastinate, put off the hard work. But procrastinating is, to me, harder, because then you're living with dysfunction that you can start to dismantle today. You can do hard, so start interrupting those thoughts, interrupt your plans to be miserable, and redirect your thoughts, because Jesus has a path of life and peace for you. Scripture says a mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Deborah Folletta is my guest today. She's a licensed counselor and an author. Her new book is titled Reset, Powerful Habits to Own Your Thoughts, Understand Your Feelings, and Change Your Life. So as she says, we'll talk about this on the other side of the break, is that every story has two sides. You got to choose a side. We'll talk more about that in a minute. We'll be back. Don't go away. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com.
And this is going to be a glory.
Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. As part of our series, Living with the End in Mind, we're talking to Deborah Folletta today. Her book is titled Reset, Powerful Habits to Own Your Thoughts, Understand Your Feelings, and Change Your Life. Deborah's a licensed counselor. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. If you want to interrupt some unhealthy thought patterns, if you want to identify and own your feelings and kind of retrace your steps and see what those feelings are telling you about possible triggers that are bothering you that God wants to heal, this is a good book to point you in the right and biblical direction. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And Deborah, in the chapter titled Choose a Side, you say that there are two sides to literally every story, and the side we choose will determine the life we live. So say more about that.
Yeah, every one of us has two sides to every story that we go through in life. And in the book, I use the example of just the past few years that we've all been through. There's been a lot of hard things starting 2020 on. Mm-hmm. And the way that we choose to view the past few years has the power to make or break us. I mean, if we look back and all we can focus on is the negative and the hard and the difficult, we're going to come out feeling pretty awful. We're going to come out struggling and depressed and anxious and hopeless. But if we can look back at the last few years and see how we've grown and what God has done and where God is taking us and the areas where we were challenged to change and transform, we're going to come out feeling hope and having motivation and feeling an excitement about life. And how we view life, every single day, you get to practice looking at life through a healthy lens or through an unhealthy lens. Every single day you get to practice this. But what's interesting, Susie, is our brain is kind of like a muscle. You know, if you want to strengthen a muscle, you don't go to the gym and expect that you're going to start lifting 100-pound dumbbells. I mean, there is work to be done. You have to practice and train that muscle to strengthen it. Your brain is a muscle. Your thought processes need to be strengthened and trained. You've got to practice thinking positively and healthy, and allowing your thoughts to be rooted in truth is something you have to practice on a daily basis. If it took you 30 years to get to a point where you're thinking negatively all the time, it's not going to happen overnight that all of a sudden you start to think in healthy patterns. It's something that we really have to practice and train and see it as these exercises that we do on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's really the little steps. It's the daily tending and to really paying attention. I think that's why it's so important to pay attention to your emotions, because you can often tell if your thoughts have gone rogue, if suddenly your gut is tied up in knots and your perspective has gone south and suddenly you're irritable. And oftentimes you just retrace your steps and maybe someone looked at you funny, or you read between the lines of an email. And if you can kind of connect the dots and realize, oh, I drew a wrong conclusion. And even if, let's say, someone meant to kind of poke at you, there's still a redemptive way to land on your feet, right?
Right. There's still a different way that you can think about it. But you're absolutely right. Look for those exaggerated emotional responses throughout the day. And they will usually be attached to some sort of unhealthy thinking, some sort of misunderstanding, some sort of misconstrued belief. I call them emotional sore spots. And they're things that kind of flare up throughout the day, these exaggerated things, these triggers. A trigger is another great word for them, something that triggered you throughout the day. And if you look for these exaggerated emotional responses, you're usually going to find a thought or a belief pattern that needs to be tweaked and adjusted and dealt with. So that's a great way to kind of map it out throughout the day.
Remember many years ago, early as a young mom, our listeners know this, but contracted Lyme disease during my third pregnancy. And at one point was so sick, my husband carried me into the ER like a dish rag and put me on the table, and they started an IV and whatever. And I'm like, how soon till I can exercise again? And they said, it really isn't even about when you feel well enough to exercise. The big indicator is how you recover from exercise. They said some people are just driven enough to exercise even when they don't feel like it, which I would be that person. But they said it's how your body recovers after. And I thought about that a lot over the years, Deborah, that I think that's a sign of health, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, and every other way. How quick do you bounce back? So let's say someone did, where they were rude to you. They were having an off day, acting out of their trauma, their fear, their insecurity. How long does it take you to put that in a right perspective so that you can bounce back? I think it's a really good, indicator of health. And I think to me, that right there is a motivator to daily tend to my thoughts and my garden so that I'm as healthy as I can be, not only to show up in my story, but to show up in other people's stories too. What would you say about that?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I mean, in that scenario you mentioned, if I'm thinking, I don't deserve this, they were so rude to me, people shouldn't treat me this way, and I need to get revenge. Or maybe you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm such a terrible person. I knew people didn't really like me. When they're rude to me, it's a reflection, the fact that I don't have any value. You can kind of take it in two ways, right? You can kind of take it in the shame-filled way, or you can kind of take it and get angry about what you deserve and your rights. But both end up causing you to feel a negative feeling. Both end up stirring things inside of you that trigger bitterness and resentment and shame, rather than healing, rather than hope, rather than connection, rather than grace, rather than community and forgiveness. And so what you're thinking about the situation is your interpretation. And how you interpret the situation is going to determine how quickly you bounce back from it, or how long you linger in the pain. And I think it's a really important indicator of how healthy you are.
Why, so good. I can't help but make the connection. We cover health on the show every month. We have a functional med doc who joins us every month. And one of the things he says is, you know, he had two patients, two scenarios, a 40-year-old guy, who was living on big gulps and you know, gas station food, and a 75-year-old couple who ate pretty clean and healthy. And the 40-year-old guy was barely rear-ended, and his whole body went into this inflammatory response because everything he'd been doing up to that day set him up for an exaggerated response, where the 75-year-old couple were in a significant, I think they were T-boned or something, and he said they walked away unscathed because they had just so kept the inflammation down that even in a big wreck, they really fared so well. And I just think those principles really apply across the board, that our daily tending to our garden, to our heart and our thoughts really does impact how we show up in life, you know?
Yes, I love that analogy. You know, one thing I always tell people is that time doesn't heal all wounds. And I think of, you know, this image of a deep wound, maybe something from your past, and you've been covering it up with Band-Aids. You've been trying to hide it. You've been trying to cover it up with things rather than actually heal it. And then when something happens in the present, it's really going to trigger that wound. And that wound is really going to come to the surface of your life in a severe way. But if you have wounds from your past and you're actually tending to them and healing them and giving them attention and allowing the Lord's healing balm over them and healing them in a significant way, when something comes up in your present that's difficult, those wounds are healed. They're going to stay there. They're not going to come up and start affecting you in the here and now. And that's why we go back to that phrase, triggers are a sign that there's more healing to be received. So what is the healing that's meant to be received in this stage of your life? What is the Lord spotlighting for you to begin the work of healing? And are you willing to go there with him?
I love that. And I keep going back to what you said toward the beginning, the trigger. When you're triggered, get excited because God's saying, are you ready? So you're ready. Now, are you willing? And I got to read this last excerpt about asking God for great things. You said, we can ask God for great things, big things, bold things, for hearts to be healed and lives to be changed, for generational chains to break, families to be restored, and marriages to be renewed. God is doing something new in your life. In fact, he's already begun. The questions are, do we believe it? Do we receive it? Do we expect it? Are we looking for it? Are we even ready for it? We just got a minute and a half left, Deborah, but that just psychs me up so much because I think about what if you got to the end of your life and many people were healed because you were willing to not only contend for your healing but for others versus nursing grudging wounds all the way to the end. I mean, what a sad story. Does it mean God would love you less? No, but it does mean there's less fruit. So maybe say a word, if you would, as we're just thinking about what a healed person might look like years from now if we tend to it today.
Yeah, I love that, Susie. And I really believe that this is the year of deeper healing. I think the past few years have come with many wounds, and God is challenging us to do a deeper work of healing. What if we acknowledge that this coming year, we committed that this would be the year of healing for us? And how would that change what we did? And how would that change how we thought? And how would that change how we lived? How would that change our families? You know, a lot of people say, well, I want to do the work. How do I do the work? I really hope that this book can be a guide to help you in the work of healing day by day, action step by action step, because we're all on this journey of healing together.
Well, this has been a rich and beautiful time, Deborah. Thank you for the work you do to help people heal. And we want to be activated. We want to take initiative. We don't want to sit as victims. God's made us to be victors, and you're helping many do just that. Well, thank you. One of the things our producer prayed before the show was that God would redeem the time you gave to us. And we do indeed pray that, Deborah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susie.
I hope you'll come back and visit us again. That's Deborah Folletta. She's a licensed counselor and an author. Her book is titled Reset, Powerful Habits to Own Your Thoughts, Understand Your Feelings and Change Your Life. We'll leave that drawing open for a little bit. I pray that today's show encouraged you. It sure did me. I am motivated to walk free because Jesus won it for me. I'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.